Good morning, church. How are you today? Blessed. Amen. We are. Well, I haven't been with you for two Sundays. Not sure if you missed me. I'm surprised, but I missed you. I definitely missed you. Although I've been out of Britain, I didn't miss British weather, as it followed me, even in Spain. For half a week, we couldn't see the sun. But I'm blessed because we were just about 150 miles south of Valencia, where you know what happened. And I still receive lots of photos and reports from my colleague pastors that I know, and they are trying to be helpful there. I'm blessed to be back and to share with you God's word today. We are not going to spend, as normally, we've been in this series of on Mark for quite some time. Soon we will take a break. But today, in light of what we celebrate, Remembrance Sunday, I thought it's appropriate to have a word that is related or in tune with this event. It's for the first time I'm actually preaching on this subject. I'm not going to focus only on the Remembrance Sunday, but on the broader spectrum. I found tremendous benefits just in this preparation, and I hope what I'm going to share with you, just perhaps 10% of what I learn, I'm going to share with you. You might find it helpful too. I'm not going to start reading a piece of scripture, as I'm going to share plenty of verses throughout my sermon. It's not an expository sermon, but rather a topical one. Memories. Memories. We all have them. And they have a way of ambushing us when we least expect it. A song, a scent, or a place can easily transport us back in time, evoking emotions that feel as fresh as the day we first experienced them. As a matter of fact, during the third song we sang today, "Who Breaks the Power," I burst in tears. You know why? Because it brought back a certain memory. I was in Thailand, Bangkok, 2016. One of those mega, huge, large gatherings of pastors, thousands of leaders across the globe. And I heard for the very first time this song. And I loved it from the very beginning. I come back and I ask Evelyn from the Romanian side if he could introduce it to the church at that time, Imez. I don't think we sang it at George Road either, 2016. I was still part of this church as a member. And it took about a year for Evelyn to prepare a worship team, and every single time I evoke those moments. I will refer to other memories that I hold dear. But you see, the ability to remember is such a wonderful gift. Yes, I am aware there are even people from our own congregation who struggled with that. In an instant, you can be a child again, skimming rocks across the seaside. I grew up by the seaside, so I couldn't, and Maureen, and many of you. Or walking in a meadow. Many of us can recall the time we fell in love for the first time. We got married, we had children, we got baptized. You can remember because those memories are fixed in your mind in such a wonderful way. And I will take a brief moment here to mention something that I've learned years ago. When I sat far back in a conference room and an expert in this area challenged us, we were young at that time, to be very careful what we allow to penetrate our minds and to store as memories in our brain, especially when we are young. Because you see, memories, the way we write them, this is how God created us in a wonderful way. They are written as a book. When we are young, we write the first pages. And when we are older, of course, we write the last pages. It's literally as a book. But you know what's very interesting? That as we grow older, slowly, slowly, we start forgetting easier. And trust me, I know what that means. But do you know what we forget? The last pages. Where have you placed your car keys, your phone? Where have you gone in the garage? And then you just arrive there and you think, well, what do you want? Why? And you have to go back and try hard. And then, oh, yes, that's why. Or you go to the fridge, whatever. But we vividly remember the first pages that we write. That's why now I understand a lot better time I spend with my grandparents and my parents that are now on the other side of eternity. How enjoyable was for them to share those long stories from when they were young. Because for them, they were still afresh. But they struggled with the last pages. And it was hard for me as a pastor, I must say, and I shared this with Andy. For instance, when we had to visit people like Elsie Patterson, who passed away. And we know she struggled with memory. And when I realized she doesn't know who I am, and I don't know how to talk and what to say, and I had to pretend certain things. However, even during her celebration of life service here, we learned that she vividly remember people and things from the past, first pages. She remembered previous pastors of this church, while she forgot the last, or the present, not the last. It's a natural thing. Be aware of this, especially, I should say, those who are young. They are at the back. Because what we place in our mind when we are younger comes with vengeance or as a blessing when we are older. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing to realize how God created our brain. And I don't go into these technical details, hypothalamus and all these things, but we have three types of memories. We have short-term memory, we have long-term memory, we have working memory. They build the computers learning from our brain. And what we learn during the day, it's a short-term memory, and we commit to long-term memory actually while we sleep. I wish I knew this a lot better when I was a student, because I missed so many nights. Now I understand why teacher said, or professor said, go to bed, don't learn during the night. Because you commit to memory while you have a good sleep. That's why it's so important to realize and to choose carefully what you commit to memory towards the end of the evening, the last few hours and the last few minutes before you go to bed. Because while we sleep, there is an area of our brain that is more awake than during the day, and it files all these memories and stores it in such a wonderful way. That's why it's important to read God's word before you go to sleep. That's why it's important to do certain things we are going to learn today. That's why it's important to choose what you remember negative things or positive things. Remember what you remember. You see, we all have good memories, and we may call bad memories. I could choose a different word, but perhaps that's the reality. Some memories bring us joy, but others hold pain or regret. Stories we might rather forget. Still, whether treasured or challenging, memories are powerful. They help shape our identity, influence our choices, and guide us into the future. Sometimes memory, as I said earlier, fails us. We forget. There are things we should forget anyway. Even God chooses to forget things, you know? We read in the Bible that He throw away our sins once we receive forgiveness into the sea of forgetfulness. He chooses not to remember our sins once we accepted Jesus Christ. As I heard from someone else, and I like to repeat, the problem is Satan and other people like to be scuba divers. You know, they go in the deep of the sea and bring them back to surface. But we also often choose to live in the past in that regard. You meet with people and you have a chat and you ask, how are you? And you answer to the blessed. Say, yeah, I'm not too bad. Why are you not thriving today? Well, you see, let me tell you, 5 years ago, someone told me this and that. And they live in light of people's words, attitude, or a bad experience. Forget those things. I know it's hard. I have plenty of them. I choose to forget. But there are lots of things we are called to remember and to treasure. At least 250 times I found in the Bible, there is this variation of word or term, remember, remembrance, remembering. 250 times, that's a lot to remember. We are called to remember not just personal experiences, but God's faithfulness, God's commands, God's promises, God's sovereignty. And I could preach about all kinds of subjects today. But I want to briefly share with you the power and the role of memory in faith and life. In the Bible, there are things God requires from us to remember. And there are also things God says He remembers. He remembers His covenant. He remembers His promises. He remembers even our tears and our cries. Now, I'm not going into this theological concept. Is it possible for God to forget? It's just a way in which God chooses to relate to us. But if you look at the whole Bible, the entire Bible can be seen as a book of memories too. We can recall God's goodness to His people, starting with the patriarchs like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob in the Old Testament. We remember in the New Testament how God sent His own Son, Jesus Christ, to bring humanity back into a right relationship with God the Father, culminating in Christ's ultimate sacrifice on the cross. Why does remembering matter so much? The Bible makes it clear that remembering isn't just a mental exercise. It is a vital spiritual discipline. We are encouraged to take time to stop, to take an intentional time and to reflect on those things. As a matter of fact, look back to the Israel in the past. They had to have all these festivals, if you like, when they took a week or two, when they had to organize a boot camp, if you like, and just celebrate what God had done in the past. And these are not just suggestions in the Old Testament. It's not like, you know, I suggest you, if you can, if life allows, take a bit of time and reflect on those things. There are requirements. There were national holidays. That means God knew they are very, very important to them, as they are very, very important to us. Why? And I ask myself, why? God, in a sense, commanded them to have this, imposed them to have these breaks. Because for them, like for us today, it's so easy to be absorbed in everyday life, carried out from here to there in this urgency of things, under pressure every single minute of our life, and forgetting all those things that we should remember because it's for our own benefit. I share with you that for the last few good years, I become so interested in neuroscience and other things besides theology. So I'm going to read for you a portion here. Neuroscience shows that positive memories, especially memories of love, gratitude, and peace, can help lower stress level, and we all struggle with it, enhance mood, yes, even in weather like in Britain, and even boost resilience or enhance our immune system. Recalling past experiences of peace and victory over trials releases serotonin and dopamine, the brain so-called feel-good hormones or chemicals, which improve mental health and foster a sense of security. When we remember God's faithfulness and love, we reinforce these positive pathways in our minds, helping us to live with gratitude and courage. So it's power in this exercise that we ought to take. Today we will explore, as I said, how remembering plays a vital role in our faith journey. What are we called to remember? How does it shape us? And most importantly, how does the act of remembering draw us closer to God? First thing we ought to remember, and celebrating the Remembering Sunday, is the sacrifice. The sacrifice that God made for us, and the sacrifice of those people who paid with their lives, with their blood, for us to enjoy earthly freedom. I must say, when I was young, perhaps I never realized the importance of such a thing. Why every nation, well, I'm not sure if every nation, but most nations have such a day in their annual calendar. Romanian has it, Moldov has it, Britain has it, America has it. Let's begin with what we just celebrated today. Two verses. John 15:13. We read, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends." Remembrance Sunday calls us to honor lives given in service to others. Today, the poppy reminds us of sacrifice, of those who left everything behind. They were ready to pay with their lives for us. It is important. And in preparation for this sermon, I read multiple articles, and I came across one piece that, I must say, intrigued me. I printed it on a separate piece of paper because I wasn't sure. Shall I share it? Shall not? But now, I can see the clock and I can make it. The title is, "War often brings out the good in people."
You know, when you read such, how comes?
David, you mentioned there are, and Marie, there are words nowadays, some more on the news than others. But when I continue to read, and then I came across a specific testimony, I said, yes, that's true. I heard of this before. During the First World War, Maximiliano Kolbe, a Roman Catholic priest, who was imprisoned in the Auschwitz concentration camp for his faith, decided to have a utterly positive attitude towards those who persecuted them and caused them to suffer. It was an intentional decision. Even when they received food with Russians, we say, I don't want to sound like the national Russians, he decided he would share the little food he has with others. He encouraged his fellow prisoners to do the same, to forgive their persecutors and to overcome evil with good. One day, Kobel, Blot escaped from the camp. No, one day a man in Kobel's block escaped from the camp. He responds, all the men from the block were brought out into the hot sun and made to stand there all day without food or drink. At the end of the day, when the escapee was still not found, the Nazi commandant announced that 10 men would be selected to die. In the starvation cell, in place of the one who had escaped. One of the men chosen was a Polish surgeon. I look around and I don't see our Polish friend who started, I'm not sure if I pronounce it well, Francis Gajowinczek, a Polish surgeon. And he begged to be spared, worried that his family would not survive without him. As he pleaded, this priest, this Catholic priest, Maximilian Kolbe, silently stepped forward and stood before the commandant. The commandant, surprised, asked him what he wanted. Kolbe replied, I am a Catholic priest from Poland. I would like to take his place because he has a wife and children to care for. The commandant allowed Gajowinczek to return to the ranks, and Kolbe took his place in the starvation bunker. In that bunker, instead of the usual sounds of screaming and crushing and cursing, the guards heard Kolbe and the others singing hymns and praying, pretty much like what we read about Paul and Silas in Philippi. After 2 weeks, only 4 prisoners, including Kolbe, were still alive. However, Kolbe paid the ultimate price, dying by lethal injection. What became of the Polish surgeon, Francis Gajowinczek? He lived for another 53 years, passing away on March 13, 1995. I was 19 years old then. And he was 95. He never forgot Kolbe. After this experience, he wrote, as long as I have breath in my lungs, I will consider it my duty to tell people about the heroic act of love by Maximilian Kolbe. I was touched. I was literally thinking, would I do the same? And then I remember a verse from 1 John 3:16. We all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Absolutely everyone know here. But do you know without reading it? 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, Jesus Christ. But here it comes. And we ought to lay down our lives for others or for the brothers. On Remembrance Sunday, honoring human sacrifice invites us to think about the cost. Sacrifice isn't easy, and peace isn't cheap. Isn't cheap. Each poppy we wear represents a life given. I never wear poppy before I came to Britain. We don't have this. I must say, for the first few years, I didn't quite get it. Now, as I advance in age, I do. But as Christians, while we wear poppies, we remember about a greater symbol, the cross. It's the cross. It's the cross that brought us greater freedom. More than an earthly freedom, spiritual freedom, free access to God, eternal life, abundant life here on earth. They stand side by side today as a reminder of the greatest sacrifice that God made for us. The cross is more than a symbol. It is the pledge. It is a place of the greatest sacrifice in history, where Christ willingly bore our sins to offer us peace with God. We are called to remember. That's why every month we have communion. And in this very act, it is an act of remembrance. We are doing this in remembrance of me. You see, back in the Old Testament, they had to have these festivals to remember all those things that God had done for them. They also had this practice of building altars or memorial stones. Do you remember the sermon on our celebration in May? Memorial stones. We have to intentionally find ways in which we stop and remember. Communion is one of those. Every single Sunday, that's why it's important to come to church. It's not just, you know, for fellowship, which is good, being fed from God, which absolutely necessary. It does good to us because we remember what God had done for us. And in exchange, we offer gratitude and worship. And that helps us in a tremendous way. Build memorial stones. Find ways in which they help you to remember. Put a note on the fridge. Write something on your favorite book, which should be the Bible. For some, maybe even your house is a memorial stone. Yes, those bricks. Because only you and God know how you managed to pay it, to pay the mortgage, and all these things. Use physical means in which you will be helped to remember. Another thing I want to draw your attention. We could choose so many, but choose to remember not just the sacrifice, but remember God's faithfulness, which is a foundation for present trust. Yes, as we go through life and we are challenged and we face storms and battles and hard situations, we tend to forget that God is a faithful God. God's faithfulness. We read in Deuteronomy 8:2, "And you shall remember the whole way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness." Now, if you were in their shoes, that's something you don't want to remember. I mean, I've been in the wilderness, come on, that stuff. Yes, it's not about the wilderness, but remember the Lord was with you, led you through the wilderness. And if you face another one, he is faithful to be with you again, through the fire, through the storms, through the waters. He is faithful. Israel's journey through the wilderness is one of the clearest displays of God's faithfulness, even when they were disobedient. That was not planned by God. We know that. It was because of their own disobedience. But God is faithful. Isn't this amazing? Even when we are not faithful. God called Israel to remember these moments because they were not just stories. They were reminders of God's provision and presence in their own specific circumstance. That's why they had to remember during the Passover how they left from Egypt, how they crossed the Red Sea, how they, in the wilderness, they were provided with manna, with provision every single day, how their clothes didn't wear, how Moses brought water from a rock. They had to remember all those things. Have you seen God's faithfulness in your life? Look back. Let's take 30 seconds of silence. We've done it 2 minutes for, you know, those who paid with their lives. Think back. When nothing in your human mind, in your human strength could help you, God showed up. He helped you in that crisis. Financial crisis, health crisis, on the hospital bed, when maybe even doctor couldn't give you hope. Take a moment. It is so important. In 2012, I came with my wife, pregnant with Robert, starting a life from scratch here, leaving a lot of stuff back home. A good life. And it wasn't easy. I don't want to go back. I have to completely forget some of those experiences. But a year after, when we literally didn't know what to do. And I was even contemplating on going back because the whole church kept sending me emails. You are welcome, you know. On Anderson Road in Erdington, I met Paul Miller, Sylvia, and I was in his house. And I remember how he prayed for me. And I remember exactly what he said. When he looked in my eyes and said, "Now, Daniel, I want you to be encouraged by this. I believe God is going to bring a revival in Birmingham. London is the head. Birmingham is the heart of this nation," he said. He had a prayer ministry, as you know, and stuff. And said, because I shared with him the challenges I had, and he said, "That's why the hell got loose against you, because God has a plan for you in this country. He anointed you and he prophesied over me." Now when I hear prophecies, I get it with a grain of salt. But I have a few that I treasure here. I have a few, not just one. I knew they come from the Lord. And he said, "God is moving in this country in a quiet way for a while. God is bringing people from other nations to strengthen our church here who got weak." That's his word. But then he is going to do something. And then he prayed for me. I draw strength from that prayer for multiple years. I remember with so much pleasure and awe when I stepped in for the first time in this church, the way you welcomed me, the way I interacted with Alan. Talking about Elsie, I was just in front of her, you two from Iran. She used to stay there with Mari, and where Sheila stays right now, I used to stay with Elena and the boys. And even them, Mari and Elsie, the way they, I mean, I have wonderful memories. I choose to remember them. I choose to reflect on them. Because they were ways and means through which God brought me encouragement in that specific wilderness that only I and my wife knew we've been through. And I have so many others like this. Do you have? Remember. Paul is not ashamed to say in Philippians chapter 1, I have sweet memories of you Philippians. I just paraphrase. I remember with pleasure clearly those moments I spent with you. When he reminds his churches about God's word, he says, I never get tired, in other words, of reminding you of the same truth. For me, it's easy to keep preaching the same thing, but for you, they have benefits. In 2 Peter, Peter says, I write you 2 letters to remind you of what God had done. It is important, friends, to remember who God is, what God says, what God had done, and who you are in Christ. It is important to remember his faithfulness. In Psalm 77, verses 11 to 12, we read, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Again, this is intentional. And if you read the first part of the psalm, you realize that the author doesn't go through an easy life. He struggles. And in his struggle, he stops. He stops. And he says, I will remember. It's an intentional exercise. Stop every now and then. Stop when you are under pressure. Stop when you are facing with urgencies. Stop and remember and reflect and meditate on God's word. Active meditation on God's past work just recalls memories in our mind. Actually, I should have started with that. What is the easiest way to define the word remember? Because, you know, sometimes we just take the word for granted. It's to bring back into your mind something you tend to forget. In a very easy way. And that's what I should have said when I said about the communion. Do this in my remembrance. We know the theory. But we need to actively bring back Christ in our mind. We need to actively bring back his word into our mind. We need to actively bring back his faithfulness to our mind. What are some benefits of remembering God's faithfulness? It brings strength for today. Looking back, we see the ways God has provided and protected us, which gives us the strength to face today's struggles. Knowing he has been faithful before reminds us that he will be faithful again. It brings peace and confidence. We are in need of peace. Do you know that the number one medication to be sell in the world today is medication that they so-called bring peace? Antidepressant and all these things. I'm not saying some, we need to take them, I'm not against them, but sometimes just practice or practicing these things helps us as much, if not even more, than medication. We are in need of peace. Peace in our heart and mind, peace between us, peace in the world, peace with God. Remembering his works bring us a sense of peace. We are reminded that God, who has done mighty deeds in the past, is the same God who we serve today. He never changed. We did. It shifts perspective. It helps us to shift perspective from the problems, from urgencies, from the immediate needs, from our own context, to him. To him. And this leads me to the third point. If there is one thing we always need to remember, I mean, all of them are important. God is sovereign. Remember, God is a sovereign God. Even in the light of recent elections. I know this whole thing. It's like Marmite in the UK. You hate it or love it. I'm not going to go into this. But do you trust? Do you know? Are you aware that he is the one who controls the whole history of the world? Does it matter your opinion in light of his sovereignty? Oh, well, we can be opinionate or share things and so on, but never rage or be discouraged because your expectations are not met. Even in light of the wars. Do you think God is taken by surprise? Why are we scared? Let me read a few verses. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Do you really believe this is happening today? That his kingdom rules over the kingdom of the world? Rules over Putin, rules over Iran, rules over America, rules over Britain. Do you really believe this? I do. I really do. And I rest assured and in peace, no matter what happens. More than that, I do not leave the news to influence my trust in God. Just a little bit of open confession. I turn on the news a few days ago for the first time since the middle of 2020, just to see how the British media responds to recent events. It was enough to do it for a few hours, and that was all. I still have a TV. I still pay the cable. I watch other things, but not the news. Not these news. No. I have my sources. I'm well informed. I read. I listen to proper news. That's what I can say. This is my confession. But those who live in light of that, of course we are scared all day long. Of course we think what they tell us. Can you compare? Do you know the reality? As someone called a well-known pastor, there is not a coincidence that the devil is called the prince of the air. Prince of the air. Be careful what you put in your mind, because you'll remember these things. Remember what you remember. Another verse. Daniel 2:21. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. Do you think he did it just in the past? No. He does it today too. He has his own purposes. He still chooses people. And that's something it helped me, and it may help you to make a distinction. There is a huge difference between what God chooses for salvation and who God chooses in his sovereignty to fulfill his purposes. He chose in the past, in Isaiah we read about King Cyrus. He wasn't saved, but God called him his anointed. He fulfilled his purposes. He released Israel from Babylonian Empire. The king of Persia came, made war with Babylon. And the Jew people were allowed to come back, even with resources from the king's treasury, to rebuild their city. We study Haggai. We study Nehemiah last year. This happened under this king, which was an awful human king. Pretty much like the two that are most in the news today, in terms of personality. God chose them to fulfill his purposes, because he changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He makes history. That's my God. We don't make history. We walk in history. He makes it. The Bible shows us that God's hand is at work throughout history. We sometimes feel as though the world is spinning out of control. Leaders may seem powerful, events may appear chaotic, but God's hand is behind it all. He's writing his story. When you realize that, you are not scared. And that leads me to the last bit, which I'll just briefly mention. Remember our hope and future. Remember that our hope and future, the ultimate hope and future, is not to be found here on this earth. We are foreign on earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. And the Bible clearly warns us about what's going to happen in the last days. The last days are going to be days of tremendous turmoil, of tremendous famine and cataclysm and wars. And even when the Antichrist will rise on the scene of history, and we may say, oh, God says, I allow it. He is under my control. Your future, your hope is not here. When you are going to see those things, Matthew 24 and Luke 17, when you are going to live through those times, there is a peculiar verse Jesus uses there. Remember a woman. Remember. Who? Remember Lot's wife. Why? We don't know much about her. We don't know who. We don't even know her name. We know she was the wife of Lot. Remember Lot's wife. Remember her privileges. She knew Abraham. She knew God's word. She was warned not to look back. Remember her disobedience. She looked back because she was anchored on this earth, not on the world to come. Remember that God remains faithful. And because my time finished, I want to read two verses at the end. Romans 8, verse 18, and Revelation 21, 4. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us, says Paul. And then we read in Revelation, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and the death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Amen. Remember. Remember that after tears, there comes great joy. This is our vision for the future. This is what gives us strength for today. Renewed purposes of God, joy in trials, a heart anchored in the eternal promises of God. So, remember, memory shapes your identity, strengthens our faith, and grounds our hope. Through the lenses of biblical remembrance, we see how God has worked not only in history, but in each of our lives today. We recall his provision in our deserts, his unchanging sovereignty in an unstable world, and the ultimate sacrifice of love shown on the cross. To him be the glory. Remember this. Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. Just while the musicians are getting ready, I've been asked to remind folk or tell folk that here on Wednesday evening, at 7:30 till 8:45, so it is an hour and a quarter, there's a meeting called Defending Faith, Family and Freedom by the Christian Institute. And topics included in the presentation will be conversion therapy. I'm sure those of you who have anything to do with looking online know what that is. Assisted suicide and what is happening in schools. So they're important subjects that we might find helpful to hear a bit more about and what we can do as Christians about those things. So here at church, Wednesday this week, 7:30, please come if you can. It's in place of the prayer meeting. So if you'd normally come to the prayer meeting, come to that instead. If you don't normally come to the prayer meeting, come anyway. I have no idea if it will be on Zoom. We don't know. Sorry. Okay, let's conclude the service then. Remembering that we do things not in our own strength, but in Christ's. What gift of grace?